The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
All right, here's what you need to know right away. First thing, tensions with North Korea are still high. Yesterday, North Korea mocked President Trump's warning to them, calling it a load of nonsense. And through a state-run news agency, said dialogue is not possible with such a guy bereft of reason. And only force can work on him. Wow, well, they know leaders bereft of reason. Obviously, they said the things that we believe about Kim Jong-un, but here are the facts. North Korea has outlined a plan to fire off long-range missiles that are going to sail over Japan and continue to travel about 2,000 miles, bringing them within about 25 miles of Guam. Now, the fact that they announced all of this ahead of time would seem to indicate that they want everybody to understand in advance, this is not an actual attack. This is just a test. We also need to know that we have weathered much more difficult storms than this. The Cuban Missile Crisis keeps coming to mind, with a much more potent adversary, the Soviet Union. Cooler heads have always prevailed, and I have to believe that they will prevail again this time. If you are somebody who doesn't have faith in North Korea, or you don't have faith in Donald Trump's judgment, I honestly believe you can have faith in some of those people around Donald Trump and believe in miracles the rest of it. His new chief, General Kelly, is rock solid. This is a time for all of us to be calling for calm from our leaders and not try to goad any of them into some kind of foolhardy action. Media outlets seem to be doing this relentlessly. Level heads and diplomacy are the only acceptable actions right now. And if your media source is telling you differently, maybe it's time to find yourself a new one. We begin right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Yesterday, I tried to read the news about 10 o'clock last night, try to catch up on what had happened during the day while I was busy doing other things, and you were too. And I saw this headline. I think it was from Business Insider. Global security expert. Quote, yes, Trump could unilaterally decide to launch a nuclear weapon. End quote. What the hell is wrong with you? Are you actually an adult? Did you pay for that education? This is what you spent your busy day on? Writing a story and talking to experts to see if the president could actually launch a nuke attack on his own? What the hell do you think the guy walking around with him with a briefcase chained to his arm is all about? What, is there a cabinet in there? That's the launch codes. That's why it's important to make sure we don't have a bad guy in office. Of course he can. The media has become as crazy as Alex Jones. Alex Jones, I remember Hillary and Barack Obama, Alex Jones said, literally smell like sulfur. They are demons. And I've talked to people around them and they literally smell like sulfur. You're crazy. With every word that the media is printing and babbling on TV, they expose themselves as nothing more than the Alex Jones of the left. They have lost all reason. We really have to get a handle on the hatred and distrust that we have for one another.
What Americans should ask themselves after reading a story like that is, do you really believe that this president, the last president, any president, would actually open up that suitcase, dial in the codes, and then launch a massive nuclear strike that would kill millions of people, including those here? Do we really think that our president, the worst president you can think of, be it this one or the last one, do you really think that any president that we have or have had is so crazy that they would just launch the missiles? Because I don't. I don't think of that one, of this president, and I don't think of it of the last president. And I don't know if you've read the headlines, but I didn't like either of them. But I don't think they're psychos. Do you really, truly believe that our president is the son of Sam? Is Charles Manson? Because that's what we're talking about in this. Do I think both presidents have had a real problem with their ego and their thinking? Yeah, I do. I have problems with, in fact, I have a problem with all of them, really, since Ronald Reagan. But I don't think any of them are stone-cold killers. Or even stupid enough to think that there's a winner in nuclear war. And if you really think that Donald Trump is so evil that he would do this, then you need to call your senator. You need to document the evidence that you have and get it to somebody, because you can't tell me that everyone in Washington is in on it. There's a system here to keep dangerous psychos out of the office. You think he's insane? Make the case. And if you can make the case, I guarantee you the Constitution will allow you to remove him from office. But you can't make the case because he's not insane. You can't make the case that he would launch missiles because he's psychotic. We're in deeper trouble than even I think we are if we are really a nation that believes our president, left or right, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, would kill millions of people for what? Their poll numbers? If that's true, why are you even getting up in the morning? Why do you believe in any of it? Why not just kill yourself now? Because if that's true, there's no hope for your children. Even the hardest of party line people on both sides. I think a lot of things about Nancy Pelosi, but I do not think that Nancy Pelosi would just quietly stand by while a Hillary Clinton in a full-fledged psychosis would launch missiles. So that brings me back to the author, the journalist of this story. What are you doing? Why is that a story? Did you not see the television commercials that run almost every time we elect a president? You can't trust him with the nuclear codes. We all know that the president can launch. What are you doing? That's not a story. That's an opinion. Thinly disguised as a story. And the reason why you have to disguise it as a story, some people are wondering. No, some people are not wondering. You are. You're wondering that. And you can't make the case, so you have to hide behind some people are wondering. How does that help us? How does that help us? A columnist in the Daily Beast called President Trump a modern-day swastika. On MSNBC, he blamed the Minneapolis mosque explosion on Donald Trump. Really? He did that too? I thought he was busy just trying to pry that briefcase open for the nuclear codes with a plastic fork. Here's what he said, quote, "He demonized our country and what we're seeing today, the climate we live in, thanks to the man named Donald J. Trump, president of the United States. And it's a time of fear that's palpable. For our friends on the left, let me just say this. Let it go. All of this stuff is meaningless. The fact is, chances are good that barring getting us into a massive war, Donald Trump is not going to have much of an effect on your life. Take it from us. Let me give you an example of some of the things we were worried about during the last 8 years of Barack Obama, that he would actually come for our guns. Well, he actually didn't. Did he try to move in that direction? Yes. Do we still have our guns? Yes. What the hell is wrong with us? How much time and energy have I spent in my own life away from my children worried about he's going to come for our guns? He didn't. We have to stay vigilant. But maybe we should knock it back a notch. Total collapse of the economy. Didn't happen. Thought it would. Thought it would. Still think it's going to happen. But what am I doing about it now? We just talked today. How much money do you have in gold? How much money do you have in Bitcoin? Do you have any money in your 401k that is in stock? Are you fine with losing your stocks and bonds? You fine with resetting? If you are, 50 or below, just leave it in there. It's going to come back. Always does. Right? Or what? Glenn, what do I do? I don't know. If you're under 50, leave it in the stock market. Leave it in bonds. Whatever you have in your 401k, leave it there, I guess. Because if you take it out and you have it in cash, if it gets that bad that it's not going to bounce back by the time you need to retire, which, by the way, I think is a thing of the past, there's nothing you can put it in anyway. Open borders. Yeah, open borders didn't actually happen. He actually increased deportations, Barack Obama. We didn't know that at the time. He actually increased deportations. A radicalized Supreme Court. Not as bad as we feared now, is it? Socialized medicine. Yep, they're on that path. We're not there yet. Marxist and communists infiltrating our government at all levels. You know what? Van Jones, and there were Mao advisors and Mao admirers, but they went away. Have they affected and infected our universities? Yep, they have. But you know that now. So what are you doing? Are we fretting about it? Or are you just saying, you know what? I don't think my kids need to go to that university. There's another university that is not teaching them Marxism. The fairness doctrine. They're going to silence all of their voices. Yep, they couldn't make that one happen. Could they silence our voices? Yeah. Yep, Donald Trump could do it. Barack Obama could do it. Hillary Clinton could do it. Bernie Sanders could do it. A space monster could come down and do it too. I am so tired of the list. Here's the point you need to remember. The president should not have the power to mess your life up. That's the problem. And you want to blame it on Barack Obama, because here's what's going to happen. There will be people who are probably tweeting right now, Glenn Beck, he just hates Donald Trump. Glenn Beck, he's always just, how dare Glenn Beck compare Donald Trump with Barack Obama? Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. I don't care anymore. Whatever. We're both saying the same thing, and those who want to continue to play the game, just destroy yourself. Here's the truth that neither side wants to hear. It's because you've walked away from the Constitution. The Constitution is so weakened right now that the president could actually screw up your life. That Congress could actually screw up your life. If you want to change that and reinvigorate the Constitution, then let's work on that. But if you just want to argue politics and pit one politician against the other, oh my gosh, what a waste of my life that is. We had a couple on the air a couple of days ago. Baby had the same disease that Charlie Gard died from. They had every reason to be worried, sick, down, depressed. That's what I was expecting. I'm going to take a break and come back there. Because I want to be like these people. Let me show you what I actually found. When we come back, our sponsor this half hour is American Finance. Right price, right location, right school district, the right house to raise your family. Now all you need is the mortgage. Now you hope that the bank is going to give you the loan. I just hope that the bank will. Really? I don't. I hope they offer me something I want to buy from the bank. Have you seen the price tag of what they're selling you? It's enormous. Of course they want to put you into that loan. Look how much money you're going to pay them. I want to find a loan that is affordable to me, that fits what I want to accomplish in my life. And I can't do that by going to a bank, and I can't go to most mortgage lenders because they're all on the payroll from the bank. Oh, you know, there's this new financial instrument that'll really be good for you. Really? Do you make money? Do you make a commission on that? Because if you make a commission on that, I don't believe you anymore. American Financing does not work on commission. They find the mortgage instrument that is right for you. Straightforward, honest people. Is there anything better than that? Get this done and behind you and get the right mortgage for you and your family. By the way, they are now offering reverse mortgages, good way to increase monthly cash flow with no mortgage payment while still retaining the ownership of your home. Call them for more information and get moving on your mortgage. It's 800-906-2440, 800-906-2440, or online at AmericanFinancing.net. That's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. Is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
So, 2 days ago, I have this couple on, and they have just received the same diagnosis for their child that Charlie Gard received. And they reached out to Charlie Gard's parents before he died. When I have them on the air, we just got that day the description of what the final moments of Charlie Gard's life was like. And I'm explaining this and I'm realizing, oh my gosh, this family is on hold. I'm hoping that we are not feeding this so they are hearing this. And, you know, what are they going to sound like? I expected them to be, you know, not this. Listen to this. You guys sound, I have to tell you, I read about your story a couple of weeks ago. And so I've thought about you and as a family, we have prayed for you all. I thought to myself, you know, gosh, if my son was diagnosed with something that Charlie Gard had at the time of the Charlie Gard story, I think I'd lose my mind. And you guys both seem happy.
We lose it all the time.
Yeah, we
put on this brave face. I'm used to putting the brave face on for the specialist because I can't, when, you know, a specialist doctor is trying to tell me what's going on with my son, I can't be emotional. I have to put on my brave face.
You know what? You know what I learned from these people? Life is too short to get caught up in all of this meaningless nonsense. Here's the truth. We're Americans. We'll survive. We live in the greatest nation on earth, the highest standard of living the world has ever seen. Our poor are the other country's wealthy. Enjoy life. Get to that place in spite of our trials.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
There's an interesting study out. You know, people people just cannot see if they are on the left and they despise Donald Trump and they're worried about him. They cannot see the similarities to how we felt about Barack Obama. They just can't see it. You bring it up. How dare you? You talk to people who Donald Trump, they love Donald Trump. And you say, well, he's got a lot of the same kind of patterns of Barack Obama. How dare you? Both sides locked into it. There is an analysis that has just been done between Barack Obama and Donald Trump. They took all of their speeches, anything, I think, over 500 words, and put them in for an analysis. And they ran this through a program called Diction. It contains 33 separate dictionaries tailored to political speeches. It searches text for words contained in the designated dictionaries, then calculates the number of words from each dictionary that would be present in the typical 500-word sample. So there's a couple of things. They found that in contrast to all other presidents, Barack Obama and Donald Trump are the closest of any of them. That these two have a marked difference from any of the other presidents, and they are neck and neck. Here's what they found. They have more self-references in their speeches. I, me, me. It's me, it's me, it's me. It's I, it's me, 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 me. Obama's rhetoric is 69% more self-referential than the presidential average. 69%. Trump exceeds Obama only by 20 points. Trump employs 50% more first-person pronouns than the second most heavily self-referential president after Obama, and that is Gerald Ford. He is twice as self-referential as the post-war presidential average. Second, tenacity. The system pulls out and files under tenacity. They look for series of words of must, need, anything that says that has the feeling of absolute certainty. President Obama, 45% more tenacious than the presidential average. Trump's rhetoric is more tenacious than Obama's, but they're the only two presidents that actually break out. Everybody else is, we need to talk about these things. We need to do this. The other is, we must act now. Then there's one other thing. Both Obama and Trump stand out among all of the other presidents in their language as saying things like, nobody knows the system better than me. There's nobody else that can fix this. I am uniquely qualified because. Both Obama and Trump stand out among all other presidents. So for those people who think that Barack Obama was God and that Donald Trump is Satan, and you can't understand how people didn't see this with Barack Obama, it's because you liked his policies or thought he was on your side. Half of the country thought he was on the other side. Half of the country was dismissed by Donald Trump, by Barack Obama. Just dismissed, mocked, ridiculed. And those, I love it when these tea baggers, when Donald Trump is mocking you and mocking the things that you hold dear, remember, that happened over here first. We were feeling that for 8 years, and you didn't listen and didn't pay attention. For those of us on the other side of the aisle, let's not treat people the way we hated being treated ourselves. The real problem here is we used to look for honesty. That's what we were looking for, honesty. Strength and leadership was way back. Honesty. Then somebody who shared my values. That's what we were looking for. Now we're looking for strength. Be careful on what you wish for. Strength doesn't come from a president or the Oval Office. Strength comes from its people. Strength comes from the character of a country's people. A president could launch a war, but it's the people that are going to win it. A president could do something that would cause just economic chaos. A president could destroy what was the greatest healthcare system in the world. But a president nor Congress can fix it again. It's going to have to come from the people. What we decide to do with our day every day. That's what's going to save our families. It's what we get up to do every single day. There's a phrase that I read when I was in my 30s, and I was sobering up and I was trying to find answers, and it was, that which you gaze upon, you shall become. What are we gazing upon? What are we spending all of our time and our energy on? I was a bad dad last night. I've had I think at the top of my stress level. And I'm so tired when I get home. I've been getting home about 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And my kids need my attention and my wife needs attention. And I put my hand on the doorknob and I think all I want to do is go to bed. I am so tired. And my family wants my attention and needs my attention. And what makes it, I guess, better, but in some ways worse. That's all I want to do is give them my attention. I just want the energy to be able to give them my full attention and to be with them. My son, his voice changed this summer. I just thought, like, 8 months ago, he had the perfect Charlie Brown voice. He always has. He sounds like Charlie Brown, or used to. And I wanted to record him reading some Charlie Brown. And I just thought of it this spring, and I thought, I got to do that before his voice changes. His voice changed. This is my first son. That has thrown me for a loop. It's like he's changed. It's not like talking to my son anymore, my little boy anymore. I don't want to miss any more of their childhood. Last night I came home. We were so tired. I tried to do what little I could with everything. And then everybody was like, brush your teeth, do this, do that. I'm not going to argue with anymore. Get up to bed. And I just couldn't take it. And I just snapped. Is this really what we're spending our time on? What little time we have, we're arguing, get your ass upstairs and brush your damn teeth, or I'll take the braces off of your teeth myself. You've been sick all day. Your mother has asked you to go to bed. Get your ass in bed. What little time we have, we're spending it arguing with each other. I'll bet you that's happening in your family as well. And it's happening in our family, our country. Instead of doing something great, instead of doing something worthwhile, instead of building something that makes people stand back and go, damn, look at those people. We're wasting all of our time arguing with each other. You want to talk about North Korea? Good, then let's talk about North Korea. Let's talk about the millions that could die and the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, that are being tortured, and definitely the millions that are being starved to death. And we've not cared. What have we done about it? Nothing. And now we're all so damn convinced that it's time to go to war. Why? 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 Because the press has decided we have to pick this up now? Because the president has said something and we can't go back on his word? We can't look weak? I don't care how we look anymore. Can we do the right thing for once? Can we do the right thing because it is the right thing, not because we have to? But we're never gonna get there until those who know they have to brush their teeth go upstairs and brush their frickin' teeth. And those who have got to put the video game down because you're not supposed to be playing video games at this time, put the damn video game down. And we stop wasting what little time we have arguing. And we actually come together and try to do something positive with our time. Sponsor this half hour is Upside. For business, stop wasting money. I know how hard it is to come by money. I know how difficult it is to run a business. And I know the last thing you want to do is spend it on stupid travel. You have a company like mine, you got to travel. So now, how do we find the best price? We've tried all kinds of different things. The thing that really, truly works, because everyone is a winner, is Upside. Here's what happens. You have a salesperson wants to go out or has to go out on the road, okay? They usually spend about 90 minutes online trying to get the hotel reservations and the flights and trying to find the best prices. You can get this done now in 5 minutes. That is their goal. I think actually their goal is 3 minutes, but I think they have it down to 5 minutes now, where you are motivated. Your employee is motivated to not spend a lot of time looking for it, but get the best deal. Okay. They present you with the best deal and say, hey, if you will stay one block south, one block farther from your destination, we can save you this money. Now, normally, because the employee is like, I don't really care. It's not my money. We'll stay at the hotel that they want to stay in as long as it's in the company's budget. This motivates them because if they cut and say, I'm going to go here, not only do you save money, but Upside gives them an Amazon gift card. And no matter, you know, what you're booking, you're guaranteed to get money back in an Amazon gift card. In fact, right now, you're guaranteed at least a $100 Amazon gift card on your package purchase. So you're going to save a lot of money as the company. You win. The employee gets to save money for the company and look good. Okay, not, you know, whatever. But they also get that $100 gift card or however much money it is, guaranteed to be $100, an Amazon gift card that they can go and spend. They get money back on this. And the airlines, the hotel, everybody wins. This is the way business is supposed to be done. And this is the way you can save money in your business. Go to Upside. It's the real deal. Upside.com. Use the promo code Beck and you're guaranteed to get at least $100 Amazon gift card on your package purchase. That's promo code Beck. Upside.com. Minimum purchase is required. See the site for complete details. Upside.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. Yesterday, if you missed the guy who went over, what's his name, that went over to North Korea and
Michael Malice.
Yeah, Michael Malice spent some time, you know, getting to know North Korea. His family came from the former Soviet Union when he was a baby. And the stories that his parents raised him on about what it's like to live in a communist country has changed him. And so he wanted to go over to North Korea and really find out what it was like. And, you know, his book is humorous in many ways. I did not find that in him yesterday. I mean, I thought he was a normal guy, but I didn't find him a jokey guy. He was really deep thinking guy on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, this has been, you know, the focus of it's really his life's work.
Yeah.
In many ways, although the book is actually also really entertaining.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, you know, so if you're it's not just boring history book on North Korea.
Yeah.
It's told in a really interesting way.
Yeah. He's coming back today in hour number three. You don't want to miss him. A really fascinating look at North Korea. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, living in the Soviet Union and the former Soviet Union and what people, especially, you know, millennials, just don't have any idea what that means today and how free we really are.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Now we need to get him on. We're just talking about this Google diversity memo. We've got to get Don Imus on. I bet he has a few things to say about it. Steven Crowder is joining us. He also has had his run-in with Google and has some things that he needs to get off his chest about this Google memo. Louder with Crowder. Steven Crowder begins right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Steven Crowder, welcome to the program. I was talking to a millennial yesterday, a very smart, well thought out millennial, who said, you know, I don't agree with this, but I have to tell you what my feelings were when I first heard about this memo. She said, I don't like people telling me what I can and can't do because of my genetics. And she said, I heard the quotes that he was saying that I can't do these things because I'm genetically predisposed to X, Y, or Z. And she had a real problem with it. Now, the good news with this millennial is she moved past her feelings into thought, but that's not really happening, especially even in the press.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Glenn. You're absolutely right. You know, a couple of points of the memo. I hate to use the fake news hashtag, but when CNN goes out and says anti-diversity manifesto, is what they call it, like it's the Count of Monte Cristo writing on the stone wall next to days in prison. It's manifesto, anti-diversity. And then it says anti-woman. Well, the quotes they take are where this guy essentially says that, listen, Google is pushing diversity hiring for diversity's sake, and it hasn't really been that successful. we may want to, and he even says, by the way, I'm not saying that all women or all men are the same. There's a significant overlap. Of course, there are people who would fall on both sides of the spectrum when it comes to attributes and perhaps some shortcomings. But as a general rule, this may be why we don't have as many women in tech. And he talks about how women generally value work-life balance over status, whereas men will drive themselves into the work, themselves into the ground for status. It does say, yeah, you know, listen, women tend to handle stress more emotionally. It does list some characteristics that might not lend themselves well to high-stress tech situations. But then, and this is what the media doesn't cover, on the flip side, he says, now, I strongly believe in diversity, and I think if we want to hire more women, we might want to place emphasis on the issues where women perhaps are more valuable to the company. For example, they're more cooperative. In general, they're more agreeable than their male counterparts. In general, they're more people-oriented. They're more empathetic. We don't really place a strong value on those attributes at Google in these positions. We might do better to do so. So, listen, is that still hate speech? Do you lock this guy up with the Nazis? I don't know. Leave it up to people to decide. But when you read the entire memo in context, I can't see, you know, Glenn, this is one of those issues where when I read it, I go, okay, this is a guy who's a classical liberal. He even gets some digs in at conservatives in this memo. If people read it, he's certainly not a right winger. And he's writing something genuinely trying to be productive, genuinely writing out points as to where Google may be able to improve. And Google says, we can't, it's hate speech. We have to fire this guy, which tells me if this guy can't do it, you know, you and I haven't got a shot. They're not interested in a dialogue for the same reason we couldn't have anyone from Google or anyone on Google's side come on my program to argue this issue. They don't want to discuss issues anymore. They've gone too far around the bend.
So a couple of things. I would agree with you, and I have not been able to find somebody that can make a cogent argument on how this isn't the beginning of fascism in the Google world. The institutionalization of fascism in the Google world. I really want to understand how silencing somebody who is really truly making valid points, you don't have to agree with them, but bringing out a valid argument, how the best way to deal with that is to silence them and to shun them and to name call. That's fascism. And why this is concerning, you know, if they were just making ashtrays, I wouldn't really care. But they're not. These are the people who are the gateway to information. And if they're saying this information isn't worthy to even be discussed at the levels in Google, are they really going to allow us schlubs who don't know anything to access that information in an equal and fair way? I don't think so. It wouldn't make any sense at all. Well, it would be completely inconsistent.
You're talking about a company, as my friend Owen Benjamin talked about this on the program. He said, you're talking about a company where when you Google how to be a better man, it shows you articles written from lesbians. So, I mean, this is not a company. They can't help you be a better man, nor do they have any interest in doing so. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's funny that you mentioned fascism. Do you know that if you Google fascism, it says far right ideology, you know, and then description. But if you Google communism or socialism, there's no mention of left. There's no mention of the left side of political spectrum. It really is. And here's the deal. They have the right to do what they want. They have the right to fire this guy. I think we all agree on that.
Yep.
What they can't do is say, we believe in diversity. We believe in different opinions. And then fire someone for that specific reason. That's the issue here, is the dishonesty. When, like you said, I've read anywhere from between 60 to 80% of our online interactions occur either somewhere between Google, Facebook, Twitter, or Amazon. So when you think of how much information is controlled, it really is crazy. And here's what it comes down to. Listen, what was so offensive, are we really going to start firing people because someone says men and women are different? Are we at that point where it's offensive to say, hey, men, anyone who's married knows that it's true. And by the way, hey, men, you can't say men and women are different. Men and women are exactly the same. Men can do everything women can do, and women can do everything men can do with the exact same results. By the way, let's celebrate diversity. Did I step into a time? What happened? What world did I fall into?
And the fact that women and men are exactly the same, except they can't play the same sport. That's unfair. You're going to put women, really? Women are going to have to compete with the men on the basketball? Well, wait, you were just saying that there's not even a biological difference. What are you talking about? I mean,
unless it's a transgender, then just let him in the octagon to beat the living daylights out of women. That's progress. I think, Glenn, this is a real the pendulum swings both ways. We've talked about this. You kind of see that with Bush and then the anti-establishment sentiment from young people. And then it swung the other way with Barack Obama. But the pendulum is swinging so quickly now. And I think the left has gone too far for it to swing back. I think you're seeing too many liberals, and we see this with our content, a lot of people who used to be liberals going, I just can't get on board with this. Once they read the memo, people go, you know, it's offensive to say that men are more task oriented. It's offensive to say that women are more emotional. It really is at a point. And by the way, what it hurts people here is that they don't feel good about it. You know, the women took a sick day at Google. So they were so offended at the notion that they might find work too stressful that they needed to left this memo and took a sick day. And by the way, not all women are this weak, just the feminists at Google. That's important to note. I'm sure your wife isn't. My wife's reaction was so earnest. And it just hit me like a Mack truck. She just said, "Oh, do you have to talk about it? It makes me just so ashamed. Ugh, women who complain like that, they're just so weak. They're so obnoxious. Most women don't like to be around them. They're just draining." That's what my wife said. Isn't it ironic that a non-feminist, conservative Christian woman finds feminists to be obnoxious in their weakness? And that's where we are.
Well, that is the progressive mantra. Is weakness. Not celebrate diversity. Celebrate your weakness and we will compensate. We will be your defender. I think this millennial who said this, this is the way I felt. I don't like people telling me one thing. Well, wait. The other side is telling you that, oh, yes, you can do it, but only with special exemptions, only with special protections, only with special training. No.
Right.
I'm telling you, if that's what you want to do, go do it. Go do it. How is that offensive to say you don't need somebody in between you? That's just somebody sucking you dry of all of your power.
Right. Well, a couple of things. You know, they say, I don't like being told what I can and can't do. And then conservatives saying, well, listen, we're not really telling you what you can or can't do, but we can all find common ground on one issue, pull-ups, right? Liberals want to lower the physical PT requirements in the military with pull-ups so that women can join more easily. And we say, hey, women biologically can do fewer pull-ups. So there's a great litmus test. As far as what's offensive, you know, offensive now isn't about intent. And we've talked about this with the Google algorithms, you know, for the most advanced tech company in the world, right? On my videos, Muslim singles and gay cruise ads are playing. And, oh, we're trying to fix the algorithms. You're Google. If you can't associate proper advertisers with my who can? So, I mean, we're talking about people feeling bad is what it comes down to with Google. It's not about intent. It's not about context. Google leftists don't really understand context, or they don't value context, I should say, certainly as a whole. And anyone can feel bad about anything. I'm feeling miserable this morning. And you know why? It's stupid, but I have some nagging injuries, so I haven't been able to go to the gym. So I've been doing these water weight exercises, you know, those foam dumbbells in the pool. And I was thinking, you know, hey, good for me. I'm going out. I'm doing something. So I go on Amazon to look to buy some as opposed to the public pool where I've been going. And then I read the reviews, and it's nothing but 77-year-olds talking about their aquatic aerobic classes. and then all of a sudden, Amazon is tracking with advertisements and the ads every time I'm in my browser are for reverse mortgages or Wilford Brimley with diabetes. And I feel bad.
I believe it's pronounced diabetes. It's interesting, though, on the it's a great point on the physical part of it, because it's exactly the point he made in the memo, which is if you look at the top 100 meter times of all time, the world record holder for women is slower than the yearly best times for high school men. I mean, there's a clear difference here, right? However, what that does not mean is that the all-time world record holder is not going to be a hell of a lot faster than me trying to run a 100-meter. Point being that, right. Yes, on average, there are differences, but there are women in Google all the time that are outperforming men all the time. Hey, it's just a commentary on averages, and nobody's going to bother to take the time to look at that.
And why is it, who is it that is devaluing the basic intrinsic worth of the sexes? I'm not. I believe that women are from Mars, men are from Venus or whichever planet it is. I believe that we are different for many different reasons. But it's important that we, oh my gosh, celebrate that diversity. That we look and say, this trait in a woman of being less about stuff is good. It's a good thing. Right. And at the same time, the man is worried about stuff or thinking about stuff. When you put those two together, you have a nice balance. Why are we trying to destroy? First, say that what men are has no value, and what women are naturally also has no value. You have to be this thing that is not neither male nor female.
Right. Well, and, you know, and that's kind of, you know, I wanted to go back to Stu real quick. I want to answer that, but you know, I'll throw another one into the mix. We talked about 100 meter dash. You want to know something else? Chess. There's a women's division for chess. Think about that for a second. it's not even close. If you look at the top players of all time, there is no female Bobby Fischer. Now, women can enter the men's division in chess, and there have been some outliers, maybe a couple who cracked the top ranks throughout time, but then they have an exclusively women's division in chess, which is just significantly further behind. Now, that does not mean that women are less intelligent. Chess is not an indicator of intelligence, but it is. Let's remove the physical. It is absolutely an indicator of how someone's brain works, how it processes information. We can see the difference between standard people and ADHD people. We can see the difference between people who simply read differently, who have different faster reading comprehension. It doesn't mean they're smarter. Some people are wired differently biologically. And to what you said, Glenn, you know, Christians, we've used this term for a long time, complementarianism. You know, it goes back to Christ, really the first diversity celebrationist, I guess you'd say, where he said, hey, husbands, be good to your wives. That was kind of new, the way he really placed emphasis on treating the women as the best among you. And then women, you know, submit to your husbands and submit in the biblical sense, not submit like, you know, Muhammad, you're going to get a fresh one if you don't do exactly what I say, but submit meaning respect the authority in the household and love your husband. So this is something that we've known for a long time. These are truths that we've believed to be self-evident. And I do think, and you guys can tell me if you've noticed this or you think I'm wrong, but I think it's forced a lot of people to reexamine issues they thought they were liberal on. You know, people have gone, I've had people go back to the same-sex marriage issue and say, you know, I really just thought conservatives were just a bunch of anti-gay bigots, but now when I go back and I see some of the arguments, whether I agree with them or not, but I see some of the arguments where people said, you know what, I just don't believe men and women are interchangeable. I do believe that a father is of intrinsic value and a mother is of intrinsic value, and that they are unique and not interchangeable. You know what, Steven, once we said that's not the case culturally, we kind of opened the floodgates. And yeah. I've had people say, you know, I have to look back and see where we went around the bend.
Steven Crowder from Louder with Crowder, I think you're exactly right. And I'm seeing it in not just this, but in many things, sitting in Los Angeles with liberals who would have, you know, just thought that we were all just racist bigots for the last 10 years, actually sitting around a table and them saying, you know what, I'm actually for the 10th Amendment. And I thought that was all racist. And now suddenly I find myself going, yeah, maybe we should have that 10th Amendment. And then realizing, holy cow, wait a minute, I may have been wrong on this. What I have to reevaluate a lot. That is happening. And if we can open our arms and not say, yeah, told you so, and just be decent human beings with the open mind and honest arguments, I think we will welcome a lot of people into the fold. Steven Crowder, louderwithcrowder.com. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again, Steven. Appreciate it. Our sponsor this half hour is ZipRecruiter. Bad hires cost you money, a lot of money, 15 times the person's salary. If you hired somebody for $100,000, if they're the wrong employee, it costs you and your company about $1.5 million in the end. That's an amazing stat. You gotta hire the right person. ZipRecruiter. You don't make mistakes because of the powerful technology that is matching the right people to your job better than anybody else. With ZipRecruiter.com, it doesn't depend on the candidates finding you. You find, it goes out and finds the candidates. They don't have to necessarily see your ad. It goes out and it puts all of the ads on, I think, 100 different websites and job searching sites. And then it goes out and it searches for these people. Within 24 hours, 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls to your office. You screen, you rate, you manage candidates all in one place. ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. And right now, you can post at ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. You have a job you need to fill with the right person, give it a shot. You can try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
This Google stuff is such nonsense. It's really like saying, we're going to serve more salads at Hooters, and that way we're going to bring in all the women. No, women might like salads more than men, but there might be something bigger happening in your restaurant.
So you're saying you hate men? Is that what you're saying? You hate men?
Yeah,
you're fired!
Yeah.
That's essentially the story.
That's exactly what's happening.
That's amazing.
And that's, I mean, that's not true. Look at the stats. Look at what's really happening.
The science is clear on this. This is a scientific study about this exact thing. Why the differences between men and women as they go into the field of IT. Our results suggest that men and women share some, but not all, motivations for entering IT. Both groups cited opportunity for job autonomy, advancement, task variety, professional prestige, income, and use of state-of-the-art equipment, along with gratifying work. There were also notable differences. For example, men were significantly more likely than women to identify love of technology and computers as a key motivator. Women, on the other hand, more often indicated that job security, ease of entry, and flexible work hours were primary reasons for entering the profession. Well, you're going to get those are totally different motivations that obviously.
And if you want to. And so what he was saying was, look, if you want to have more women, then these are the things we need to look at.
Yeah, target those things.
We target those things and you will attract more women. How is this hateful? How is this a fireable offense? And what does this say about us as a culture where we can no longer really have any kind of intellectual discussion about any topic without losing your job? Back in a minute.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
If you thought the country had gone mad a minute ago, wait until we play the audio of some woman who was told on an airplane, wow, nice dress. Oh my gosh, wait until you hear the rant and what this woman is saying and who this woman is in just a second. First, we want to bring you up to speed on a story we covered a couple of days ago. If you remember, the parents of Bubby Cruzan, Russell Cruzan, the baby that was born and has the same disease that Charlie Gard had. We had the parents on. They're from Wisconsin, I believe, or Michigan. And they were really happy and bubbly. And we asked them, you know, how are things going? They said great things about their insurance company, which may change. Their insurance company, which was Priority Health, I believe. And they said everything was being covered, and now it's not. We got to get this story. Bubby Cruzan's mother, Michelle, is on the phone. Also, dad, Russell, is on the phone. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
Good.
Good. So tell me what happened, because we were hearing good things about this insurance company 2 days ago.
Well, about an hour after our interview with you on Tuesday, we heard from our local hospital. They were the ones that were working on the prior authorization. They had received a denial from Priority Health, stating that they will not cover the mito specialist in Boston because she's a geneticist and he sees a geneticist here. They don't understand that there's a difference between, you know, a mito specialist and a geneticist around here.
Right. And the geneticist that you have there in Michigan is saying that I'm the wrong kind of specialist.
Yep. They're obviously doing everything that they can, but they don't really have experience with his condition.
So now what are you guys going to do? Are you appealing this? What is the name of the insurance company again?
Priority Health.
Priority Health.
Yeah, we're working on an appeal right now, and we're also working with Boston Children's Hospital to see if they will allow us to make the appointment right now without insurance approval and, you know, possibly end up having to pay out of pocket. We just want to do everything we can to get little Russell to a doctor that can help him.
Well, here again, we are seeing, you know, insurance providers in England. It was the state. In America, it is. I'm sorry, what is the name of the company again?
Priority Health.
Priority Health. Here we're seeing, Stu, will you just remind me of that in case I forget again?
I don't remember the name. What was the name again? I'm sorry.
Priority Health.
Priority Health.
Got it.
Here we're seeing a company that decides that they know better than the actual doctors do. That's weird because the state over in England, we're listening to the doctors here in a capitalist free market system. A company like...
And who was the company?
Priority Health.
Okay.
They think they know better than even the doctors, which is interesting. Boy, that probably should be... I wonder if they have a website or if they have a Facebook... Jeffy, could you look up Priority Health? See if they have a Facebook page. Oh, my gosh, they don't like it. Companies don't like it when you start to tweet their name and say, you know, things like, how could you do what the healthcare system did to Charlie Gard? We going to run the clock out on this child, too? Huh. Do they have a Facebook page?
Look it up.
It's Priority Health. I'm sure you could find it and maybe tweet Priority Health on that. And ask them how this is good for the family. You have a You Caring page. If you search for Bubby, B-U-B-B-Y, youcaring.com, if listeners wanted to help, give you guys money to be able to pay for it yourself, will the hospital take self-funded people?
We're working on that right now. We believe that if we had the funds to cover it, which right now we don't have any idea how much it would cost, but we've heard that another person said they had a 25-minute appointment there that costs over $2,000. They put the figure around $2,800. But we're hoping if we have the funds, you know, after all of our travel and everything, that we would be allowed to pay out of pocket.
So wait, so you're just trying to get enough money to buy the airline tickets and the first doctor's appointment?
We're working on it. Yeah, thankfully Miracle Flights reached out to us after your show. Thank you so much. And you know, they might help with that, but we still have lodging costs, obviously food for when we're there, any expenses related to
the appointment. Hold on. Guys, we are talking about $10,000 probably maximum. This audience should be able to do that in the next 10 minutes. could you please go to youcaring.com and just search for Bubby Cruzan, B-U-B-B-Y-C-R-U-Z-A-N. It's hashtag Bubby. Look for Bubby Cruzan. And if you can, $5. I mean, the people in this audience just giving $5 at a time, we should be able to make a difference. So this couple can go get just an initial appointment to see if their baby can be helped. So we can fight the other battle with, what's the name of the healthcare company again?
Priority Health.
Priority
and
Health.
And it looks like Priority Health is on Facebook, and they also have LinkedIn. I mean, they're all over the
Twitter, really? At Priority Internet. Health, Facebook.
Yeah. Really?
They're,
so
they're one of the largest ones in the country.
Priority. And then what's their Facebook
have, like,
page?
They should have like the most money, and they just don't want to cough it up.
I think to get the Facebook page, you just go to Facebook.com and search for Priority Health.
Priority App Health. That's how you do it? Mm-hmm. Facebook.com. And I know companies, they like to hear on their Facebook page, and they like to see on Twitter, they like to see people, you know, point out all of the wonderful things that they have done. Now, absolutely. Sometimes companies don't like it when you point out the heartless things that they might be forgetting to do. But I'm sure they have just forgotten that they, the business that they all, you know, dreamt about getting into when they were kids and they were on the playground. Someday I'm going to be an actuary.
Well, yeah.
Someday I'm going to be an insurance agent for Priority Health. I'm sure they've just forgotten those dreams from the playground and forgotten that they're there to help heal people.
You would assume by the name Priority Health that health is a priority.
Yeah, you would. You would.
Yeah, you would think
okay.
that.
But.
They've got a feedback button on their website, too.
Do they really?
Priority Health has feedback and sends them a secure email.
Very interesting.
So let's say you had $5 and you could go to youcaring.com and you could help this couple raise money. So we don't, as a capitalist free society, do exactly to these parents what England's healthcare system did just a few weeks ago. Let's show the world that that's not the way capitalism works, that that's not the way free people behave. Let's get them into an appointment, and let's say you have time after that, you might go to Facebook and to Twitter and just tweet something to Priority Health in a very nice, reasoned way, because I'm sure they just need to be reminded that health is their priority. Guys, thank you so much. Michelle Russell.
Thank you.
We'll check in with you again. God bless.
If you go to @worldofstew, by the way, on Twitter, I tweeted the, and I'm sure @Glenbeck will have it tweeted as well, the link to the You Caring page. So make sure you can actually find it. And if you wanted to find any of the social sites, if you search Google for Priority Health, you will see some of
those. Is that the insurance company?
That's the insurance company they were actually just talking about.
Priority Health.
Priority Health is the name of it.
The one that they paid to give their health priority, and then the doctors say, no, I'm a different kind of DNA specialist. I'm really not a geneticist that can do this kind of work. And so the hospital and the doctor said they should go to this particular specialist, and Priority Health said, no, that person's good enough for you. I wonder how much Priority Health's, we should look into Priority Health, because I bet they're not gouging people's eyes out at all. No. I bet they would love us to spend a day, several days, a frickin' month going over what they do. Maybe I could take, you know what? If Priority Health doesn't see the error of their ways, I'm going to dedicate Monday as an open phone day, and I will take the phone calls of all of the Priority Health customers that maybe feel their eyes are being gouged out. And we'll take those calls and we'll let America know how much their health is a priority for Priority Health.
Of course, we should give them the opportunity to do that.
Yeah,
right?
I know. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to find the error of their ways. And okay. I think they're going to be able to say, you know what, that was crazy because we misunderstood. It's not the same kind of doctor, and we don't know more than what the experts in the field know. And so we're gonna make this a priority. But in case
what health?
In case they would like some extra free publicity, I'm going to help them have all of the free publicity that I can possibly provide. And you know, you always say, I don't want to talk to the salesman. I want to talk to the customers. So if they're such a great insurance company, which I'm sure they are, they won't have any problem having customers call up and give them a free commercial all frickin' Monday. But I'm sure they're going to wake up. Here's our sponsor this half hour. It's Goldline. Jim Mattis just weighed in on North Korea. Quote, cease any considerations of actions that would lead to the end of your regime and destruction of your people. End quote. Wow. Okay. Mattis has consistently said that he believes that we need to resolve this issue through diplomacy. But at the same time, quote, the regime's actions will continue to be grossly overmatched by ours and would lose any arms race or conflict it initiates. End quote. That is true. That is true. They are not going to win in a missile race. I have a feeling we'd win. But is there a winner in that? For any media source that is rah, rah, let's just go to war, or let's teach them a lesson, or the president has to do these things or we have no credibility. We haven't had credibility as a country in a long time. And usually it's because we're not doing the right thing. Let's do the right thing. Let's think this one through. One of the things you have to think through is South Korea is the 11th largest economy, I think. I can never get this one right. You have South Korea will be devastated. If there is a strike and they launch missiles, you know that it will be towards Tokyo could look like Nagasaki. You also have the financial markets of Hong Kong and China. What happens to those financial markets? And if those go down, what happens to our financial markets? Forget about the millions dead. The world changes overnight. We're in this kind of a world. I want you to prepare yourself for any eventuality. I don't know what to do. But I will tell you, when the world goes insane, it always returns back to the basics. It always, with terror and slaughter, the gods of the copybook headings return. Gold is that copybook heading. Gold has intrinsic value and has since the beginning of time. I want you to call now, 1-866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE. They're extending their price protection programs. For as little as $2,500, you get 3 months of price protection, all the way up to a year for a $25,000 investment. Go to Goldline, read their important risk information. You're smart enough to figure this out on your own. Please listen to reason. Call Goldline now, 1-866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
I love you. I love this audience. So in a moment of arrogance or maybe clarity, I said, within 10 minutes, we can do 10 grand to help this family out. It's been four since I said that. And how far are we away?
We're still $900 away. Which
still $900 is away.
Really disappointing. I mean, yeah. Gosh, what happened?
In 4 minutes. What happened? You raised $10,000 in 4 minutes.
This audience is amazing with this stuff. They just, you can go through the news and listen to the news every day and feel like there is no hope for society. And then we talk about these stories and this audience acts the way that they do. And you get
every
hope.
Time.
Every time. It's rejuvenated every single
there's
time.
There's nobody giving $1,000. This is people giving. This is widow mite stuff. This gives me so much hope. Imagine what these parents are feeling right now, because they're at home refreshing their You Caring page right now. It's going to mean the difference between getting their son to a doctor in Boston
to be able to stay on course and stay on track to possibly save his life or just issue a death warrant. They are at home right now refreshing. Think about how they feel right now, how they, the gratitude they feel towards you and the gratitude I feel towards you. You're an amazing group of people. Thank you for listening. What gets you out of bed every day? I want to begin there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Program.
I know I am no different than you are. I know that you go to bed every night and you are beat. And maybe this is different with women, but I bet it's this way with guys. You get home and the only time your wife really wants to talk is after the kids are down and now you're laying in bed and now you got to go through the laundry list of all the things you have to do. And at least with me, I can't. My wife and I, we are thermostatically challenged and we are the polar opposites in so many ways. The way for her to relax is talk about all the things that we have to do. Oh, my gosh. And then she'll be like, good night. And then I'm up for 2 hours just going, oh, my gosh, I've got so much. How am I going to find time? Sometimes I get up just to get back into bed. Sometimes I get up in the morning, and by the time I get to the bathroom light, I'm thinking to myself, I just have to plow through it, and then I can come back and go back to sleep. What gets you out of bed? If it is work, if it is money, try to change that. Because that's not enough to keep us going. If it's to change the world, sometimes that doesn't seem like it's just keeping my kids on the right track seems hard enough. Change the world. Holy cow. Change myself. Change my family. Read my scriptures every night. But I will tell you what will get me out of bed tomorrow and what makes me glad that I got out of bed today is a phone call that we just had. Right before we went on the air, we found out that this family, that their son has been diagnosed with exactly the same disease that Charlie Gard had. And we talked to them 2 days ago, and they were so happy. And I had just said in a meeting, I think, Stu, with you 2 days ago, I want to be more like those guys. I mean, they have no reason to be happy, and they're happy. I just want to find peace and happiness. And I find out right before we come on the air that their insurance company, what's the name of that insurance company again?
Priority Health.
Priority Health. I bet they have a website and a Facebook page.
Yeah, they do. Twitter.
Mm-hmm. But they decided that they know better than the doctors know. And they said, no, the doctor you have is fine. And the doctor that they have has said, I don't have this. This is specialized experience. You've got to go to Boston. The family doesn't have the money. And so I found this out right before we went on the air. this morning, and I said to my producer, I said, just see if you can get mom and dad on the phone, and let's just put them on the air and see what the listeners will do. And in a moment of arrogance, I said, you know, I know this audience. They were not asking for the full treatment to be, this is struck me so humble. They were not asking for the full treatment to be covered. What they were asking for was to cover the $2,500 of the appointment, to just to see the doctor. And they were working with somebody else to maybe get the airfare covered and, you know, maybe some food and a hotel room. And so they were, you know, they're looking for probably $5,000. And I said, please, in a moment of arrogance, this audience can raise $10,000 in 10 minutes. In 4 minutes. I come back from the commercial break, and in 4 minutes, you have raised that money. And what's so awesome is it didn't come in huge chunks. It came in five and 20 and 50 and $100 chunks. Most of it, five and 10. I'm grateful I got up this morning so I could see your kindness. Thank you for that. Yesterday on the program, we had Michael Malice. He is an amazing guy. He actually was born in the Soviet Union. His parents defected in the 70s, and he got out. And so he has been struggling with things. He's also Jewish, struggling with things like modern day concentration camps and the evils of communism and totalitarianism. Yesterday, we talked to him about Korea on a high level. He went over to North Korea and really got to know some of the people and the culture. And it's a terrifying place. I wanted to invite him back today because I wanted to talk to him about, you know, life in this former Soviet Union, because I don't think people even understand how free we are today. But I also wanted to talk to him about something that, you know, if the media really cares about the people of North Korea and the people of South Korea, then they would be doing things like what I'm going to ask him to do. Tell us about the concentration camps that are happening currently in North Korea. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Man, this is going to be a dark day on the Glenn Beck Show because, I mean, we're starting with that sad opener, and I'm about to make it even darker. So when
hang on just a second. I want you to know that wasn't a sad opener. I think that was a mirror. They're miracles. People provide miracles.
Very touching and intense. In the North Korean concentration camps, as we discussed yesterday, they send your whole family, three generations. The leader of North Korea, the founder, Kim Il-sung, said class enemies must be exterminated to three generations. So when you get sent to the camps, you still have to work. And what is, you have a quota. And what's insane, even by concentration camp standards, if you kill yourself, your family still has to fill your quota. So even death is not an escape in these camps from the reach of the Kim dynasty. There are children there, you know, men and women, and you hear these stories of, for example, it is illegal to have relations with the camp guards. So very often these women are assaulted by the guards who have complete power over them, but then the women are the ones who are punished. There was this one story where a woman was assaulted. They ran her over with a truck, cut off her legs, and she still had to report to work, pushing herself on a tire. They're not going to give her a wheelchair. You have stories where even in the camps, things they can punish you. So you have men sentenced to work in mines, and they never see sunlight again. So their skin starts to slough off from vitamin D deficiency. So this is a level of barbarism that has almost never been seen on Earth. And so much of the press is focused on how fat Kim Jong-un is, and his rhetoric, and I was so pleased to hear you talk about this yesterday, and this is why I wrote Dear Reader, so that people can realize the focus is on 25 million slaves in this country. And so much of the rhetoric in the press is like, well, it's better that they die than we die. And it's like, well, how about we figure out a way where no one dies? That's my goal.
You know, Michael, I don't know how to solve this. And I think some people tune this out, you know, the press, because they don't think anybody wants to watch it or pay attention to it, which I think is just total laziness. It's your job right. to figure out a way to present it in such a way that that you can feed it to people.
Yeah.
That's your job. And instead,
go ahead. That's why I wrote my book, because right. it was driving me nuts that you see people completely uninformed on television making these claims, you know, making it like another Iraq or another Nazi Germany, and it's not. And I said, I'm going to do something about this once and for all, and I'm going to write a book so people can understand how it got to this place. It didn't happen overnight, Glenn, as you know. This is a long, methodical process to take a population and reduce them to this state.
Michael Malice is the name of the author, and the book is Dear Reader, The Unauthorized Autobiography of Kim Jong-il. How do you, it's in some ways, in a different way, so hear me out on this question. When we went in and we freed the concentration camps
right.
of the Germans,
right.
Some at the very beginning, our help actually killed them. By feeding, it killed them. I mean, it was a horrible situation. And so we had to be really, really careful on how to bring people back to health. How right. do you, for people who have been in a concentration camp for three generations, how do you bring those people back to any kind of understanding of how people should even be treated?
Well, what's even more insane is that when North Koreans send people to the camps, sometimes those people are freed and they return to North Korean society. They have to basically sign a non-disclosure agreement and they have to try to pick up the pieces of their lives. So there have been instances of this where people have been returned, but they're obviously broken human beings. And there's different types of camps. There's political camps and there's work camps, because one of the things these totalitarian nations have the idea, you remember the slogan over Auschwitz was "work makes you free." They claim and they believe in North Korea that by working, you will learn to love the leader and you will work your way to kind of enlightenment and understanding the Juche idea, which is the philosophy that guides North Korea. So it's so depraved in so many ways. But thankfully, you know, there are stories of people who had the book that really moved George W. Bush is called The Aquariums of Pyongyang. And this is the book that really blew the lid off of the camp system, because the people, the family went to live in the camps and they were freed. And then one of the guys became a refugee and he told the stories of what's going on there. And more people are escaping North Korea and telling the stories of what life is like in these camps. So but here's the scary part. The people in the camps are told, should the Americans invade, we are going to kill you all and burn these camps down. And that's something that no one takes into account when they're advocating starting war with North Korea.
How many people are estimated to be in these camps?
100 to 200,000, and you can see them for yourself on Google Earth.
What do I Google?
I mean, just go to Google Maps. I forgot, you know, just Google North Korea concentration camps. You'll find it pretty quickly. Maybe not using Google, maybe another search engine these days.
And there's no doubt that the North Koreans would slaughter them. I mean, that's what the Germans tried to do. They just didn't have enough time. I mean, you have to erase these crimes against humanity.
Of course. That's the other point you made yesterday. Everyone talks about they're crazy. They're not crazy. They're evil. They're smart and they're conniving. And exactly like you said, they want to wash their hands out of these crimes against humanity. And that means murdering at a huge scale. During the 90s, they refused to allow food into the country. And up to 10% of the population starved, 1 to 2 million people, because Kim Jong-il, the father, said, if we let the UN give them food, they're going to not need the government. And the people who are the most loyal to the regime were the first to starve, because they were the ones thinking food's right around the corner. I believe in the leader. It's the shady ones and the cynical ones who were like, I'm going to lie, cheat, and steal to feed my family, who survived.
Michael Malice is on with us. MichaelMalice.com. Also, the book is Dear Reader, The Unauthorized Biography of Kim Jong-il. We'll talk a little bit more about North Korea and what to do there. But also want to hear his story, Life Behind the Iron Curtain. His parents came to the West to escape the Soviet Union. And want to hear his story on that as well. Now, this summer is burglary season. Every summer, burglary rates go through the roof, and that is according to the Department of Justice because you're gone. People see that, you know, nobody's at home, and, you know, the crooks, especially if you're in Texas, the crooks don't want to run into you at home. Right now, Simply Safe will save you $100 off of their special summer package. Now, it has everything that you need to keep your home safe from intruders. You can find it right there at the front page of simplysafebeck.com. Has round-the-clock monitoring that you can add for $15 a month. That's $14.99. There's no contract. Pay for it this month. Don't, you know, cancel it and don't do it, you know, next month. There's no contract. Nothing to lock you in, and you own this system. Protection done right. Go to simplysafebeck.com right now. You'll save $100 today. The sale ends on August 13th. $100 off right now. Simplysafebeck.com. That's simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn
Beck. The fusion of entertainment, and enlightenment.
Because we are one.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
We're with Michael Malice from MichaelMalice.com. He is the author of the book, Dear Reader. It's an amazing book about what life is like in North Korea. And it's a conversation that I think should be had in all media centers instead of focusing on, boy, did you see what outrageous thing this guy said? How about we actually have a real adult conversation about what we're doing?
And we've been a very adult so far, and yeah. It's understandable with the context of the times. Though, Michael, your book is really entertaining. I don't want that to be lost in like a really serious topic here, because you made the choice to write it as Kim Jong-il.
It's in the first person, and I wanted to be the kind of book you can read in the beach and or bathroom, right? Because unless you make things fun and entertaining and kind of a page turner, it's so dark and so depressing, people shut down. So I thought, let's make this something that people can enjoy. And one of the reviews I got, it just really hit me, was, this is the funniest and most terrifying book I've ever read.
That's great.
Because
it's great. Mission accomplished.
I'm sure a lot of your audience have seen the movie The Incredibles, and they talk in that movie about how supervillains gloat and they go on their monologues. So when you read their literature, you know, they boast about all the things that they do. And there is a sick kind of humor to it that with a straight face, they're saying things that when you stop and think about it, you're like, this is madness.
Like what?
Well, for example, Kim Jong-il hates the Mona Lisa, I learned from reading their propaganda. And I asked my mother, who grew up in the Soviet Union, I'd say, why do you think Kim Jong-il hates the Mona Lisa? And it took her 1 second. She goes, because she has an ambiguous smile. And that's right. According to North Korea, if art is ambiguous, it's not art. Art has to have a propaganda message that's very clear to the masses, or else you can't consider it art. And imagine living in a country where every piece of art has to have some political message, and that political message is always the same.
I think I do live in that country. I hate to point that out, but I think we're there. do the people there actually believe the stuff, like, you know, he came down and was born and was delivered by a flock of birds, and he remembers the day he was born?
That's the first line of the book. I remember the right. day. What is it? I remember the first day of the day I was born perfectly.
I remember the day that I was born perfectly.
And that it's not a funny statement where you're grandiose and overstating what Kim Jong-il said. He actually told people that, and they were really forced to believe it.
I've heard that he doesn't go to the bathroom. That people believe that he has no bathroom needs.
No. See, a lot of times the West gets it wrong. And okay. Let me explain how they view him. Right. What that bathroom line is, what they meant is he works so hard he doesn't even take breaks to go to the bathroom. So that's not really a big expression. Okay. However,
does he wear adult diapers?
I don't think we need to go there. Go ahead.
Yeah, but they look at him not like a person. They look at him kind of the way we look at Uncle Sam, right? Now, Uncle Sam, we know what he's like, what he does. If I ask you, well, if it's Uncle Sam, who are his nieces and nephews, you never stop to think about that, right? It doesn't make sense, but he's an uncle. So you don't perceive him as a full human being. However, there's another story which was amazing to me at how they view Kim Jong-il. There's a building, there's an obelisk in North Korea called the Tower of the Juche Idea. It's got this flame at the very top.
Hang on. We'll get the rest of this story and... Maybe they should learn Uncle Sam wears stripes, meaning he should be in prison. Maybe they should learn that about their uncle as well. We'll get the rest of the story and then move to the former Soviet Union. What was life like for
this is the Glenn
Michael's
Beck
family?
Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
So we're talking to Michael Malice. He is the author of a book called Dear Reader, The Unauthorized Biography of Kim Jong-il. His family immigrated here from the Soviet Union in the 1970s. We'll get into that here in just a second. But finishing up a story on how people view, you know, the dear leader in North Korea. And you were talking about an obelisk.
Yeah, they have this tower of the Tower of the Juche Idea. It's the stone tower in the capital city of Pyongyang. And when you read their literature and how they discuss how this tower was being built, you have all these architects and they came up with all these plans. And Kim Jong-il shows up and says, hey, why don't we make it the tallest tower in the world? And their jaws drop and they realize no one had ever considered this possibility before. And it's like, wait a minute, you guys are all brainstorming with the dear leader and no one even threw out we should make it the biggest one on earth. So according to all their literature, it's not that he's a god. He's literally the only competent person in the whole country. And that's very pernicious because think about it to this day, if that leader goes away, that means your whole nation goes to pot. Mm. So it's very important if the one guy who knows how to do anything in the country is keeping things together, you really want to make sure he stays in charge.
And Michael, they thought that the grandfather was actually working with the people, that he would be in the actual factories. And he wouldn't stop to eat or go to the bathroom. He would just keep working and he would turn one factory around. And then the dear leader would get into another car and he'd race to another factory and he was working there. I mean, they actually believed that.
Well, it's kind of true. They have something called field guidance. And if you look in their newspapers, it's photographs of Kim Jong-il at one factory one day and the next day he's at a school. So when I'm reading all the propaganda, the stories are mind-numbing because there's a glass factory. There's a problem. No one knows what to do. Kim Jong-il shows up. He has an extremely obvious solution. Everyone is shocked and amazed. The next day, we got a problem at the cornflake factory. Gee, I wonder what's going to happen there. So, you know, trying to make it into a funny, interesting story was a lot of work on my part because what's really dark about their literature is other human beings and other countries don't exist. So it'll say something like, during the 70s, the great leader Kim Il-sung went to a European country to attend the funeral of its president. It doesn't say which country. It doesn't say who. No one else has names in most of these stories other than Kim Jong-il and Kim Il-sung. And they started even recently taking on a biblical bent by having everything the leaders say in boldface, in the same way Jesus' words are in red in the Bible, and their names are in a bigger font than the rest of the text.
Can you tell me because there's a lot of bizarre things that go on with North Korea that I don't understand, but let me just say two words to you. Dennis Rodman.
Oh, yes. I mean, Dennis Rodman, the hatred I have for him and what he is doing, he was, and I don't care how drunk or stupid he is or crazy, he was on some Sunday morning show and they asked him, how are you palling around with someone who has concentration camps? And he literally said, well, we have prisons. What's the difference?
Oh, my gosh.
Why don't you go to those prisons and go to those camps and take a poll and see who wants to switch places, and you'll have your answer. Mm. So to hand wave that away, to me, is unconscionable.
What do you think it is? Is it money? Why is Kim Jong-un interested in him? I mean, because the rest of the world isn't interested in him.
Because how many celebrities are going to be his friend? You know what I mean? First of all, he gets to pretend to his population that everyone on Earth thinks I'm awesome. They don't know who Dennis Rodman is, but he can easily tell them this is the greatest basketball player of all time. And he's an American coming to North Korea to praise the leader. You know, that says something else. So these are two aspects that are used to glorify the regime. Plus, I'm sure it makes Kim Jong-un look a lot smarter by comparison, right? And a lot saner.
So you're doing this, I gather, because of you're kind of picking up the torch where your parents kind of left off in some ways. Your parents and you for a couple of years lived in the former Soviet Union, and you right. saw persecution. You saw, you know, concentration camps. You're Jewish. You saw history. I imagine right. that's where this is coming from.
Oh, absolutely. Because when I would look at the reports, the news, and people treating it like a carnival. And, you know, in high school, we ask ourselves, how did we let the Holocaust happen? People don't even talk about the gulags from the Soviet Union, which preceded the German concentration camps and were around for a lot longer. And again, to focus on Kim Jong-il's golf score, I said, I'm going to do something about, I'm going to at least try to do something once and for all, because yeah, you can write books that are fun and entertaining, but at a certain point you're like, I put on this earth, let me see if I can move the needle a little bit. Because if we have it pretty good in this country, Glenn. If I move the needle in America, it's not going to make much of a difference. But if I'm moving the needle even a little bit in North Korea, this could actually be saving a lot of lives.
Tell me about your parents' experience in the Soviet Union.
It was awful. And it's there's so many things that were put into my head that I didn't realize were put in there, and that is different from how Americans were raised. For example, I had a buddy staying in my house. I went to the gym, and to get into my apartment building, there's no buzzer. Someone has to let you in. And I come back, and he said, oh, there was someone at the door looking for whatever, Jimmy, and I sent him on his way. And I looked at him, and I realized if I was staying in someone's house, it wouldn't even enter my head to answer the door. Like, that's not how Russians think. If there's a knock on the door, it's just not even an option. It doesn't compute, because it's just, there's so much lack of trust. And the other thing, the Google Doc very much was a Soviet kind of story, because I was always raised to always be aware of who has power over you and realize they might exercise that power for completely absurd reasons. And you have to be conscious of that all the time. The idea that people are going to play fair with you when they're stronger than you is an absurdity in the Soviet psychology.
So, Michael, I went over to Poland. I took my family 4 years ago, went to Auschwitz, wanted my kids to see, I wanted them to see Israel, with the first stop being Auschwitz, so they knew why Israel was important in today's world. They know right. the history of Israel. But right. I want them to understand what it's like when a people don't have a home to call their own to right. be able to defend themselves. And right. And so we went over, and I talked to one of the Righteous Among the Nations, a sweet woman. And she was like 16 when she started saving Jews in the ghetto. And I asked her, the last thing I said to her was, Paulina, you know, if dark times come, I am looking to water the tree of righteousness in myself and my family and others.
Right.
How do we do that? And she said something so profound. And as each day goes by and I see things like this Google Doc thing, it just becomes stronger and stronger. She said, you misunderstand. The righteous didn't suddenly become righteous. They just refused to go over the cliff with yeah. the rest of humanity.
Yeah.
When you see the Google Docs and you see people cheering and saying we can't even have a reasonable conversation, we must deny things that we know are true. And right. we not only have to not say the things that we know are true, We must join the crowd and say the things we know are not true.
And if they had their druthers, this guy would not only not be working at Google, he'd never be working again.
Yes.
And for what? I mean, you judge people by their actions, not by their intent. And at the very least, first of all, no one's even claiming he had bad intentions.
No.
That's what's even more pernicious. It's not like he set out to write a document and, you know, it's like, I'm going to make people uncomfortable. This is his, let's suppose it's all wrong, but this is his scientific view. The kid went to Harvard.
And MIT.
And the thing is, yeah, this is no dummy. And you have people on Twitter, you know, who've never done anything with their lives, feeling free to cast judgment on his understanding of the scientific process and biology and psychology. So it's a very, very scary thing. However, I think there's a good side in the sense that thanks to social media and alternative forms of media, this is being exposed as soon as it happens. And back in the day, this kid could have been vanished and nothing, you'd never hear about him again. Remember, like Woodrow Wilson put Eugene V. Debs in jail.
Yep. Do you hate Woodrow Wilson?
Oh, come on. You can't kiss up to him by bringing up Woodrow Wilson.
Do you hate him as much as I do?
Fair.
Are you like a big time hater of Woodrow Wilson?
Oh, he's the worst. President of all time. Are you kidding?
I love you. So I have to tell you this I just got an email from somebody who is going to make a cartoon on Woodrow Wilson, the evil of Woodrow Wilson. It'll blow you away. Who is thinking about doing this? And they said, "Will you please be the narrator?" They said, you know, the people involved completely disagree, but there is no one that hates Woodrow Wilson more than us, other than you. And I said, oh my gosh, I will help you in every possible way to expose that monster. Yeah,
it's no coincidence he was a college, university president.
Nope.
Because this is where I was on the show Kennedy on Fox Business, and I made the point, the university's job is to prepare young minds to be the shock troops for the progressive militia. They are there to program them and have them spread out like a virus and control the media and entertainment. What percent of journalists have gone to universities? And they're all being programmed by the evangelical left.
Michael, you just booked yourself a ticket for a third consecutive day on the air.
We could be best friends, Michael. Yeah. I don't know what else you believe, but you had me at Woodrow Wilson as evil.
We'll have you back on Monday.
Yeah. Gonna be having dinner tomorrow and I have candlelight.
It's a real honor to talk to you, Michael, and thanks for all of the hard work and the hard thinking and heavy lifting on trying to get the words out in a way that people can consume them. Appreciate
thank you so much, Glenn.
Appreciate your work.
Thank you.
God bless. Michael Malice, the name of the book is Dear Reader, The Unauthorized Biography of Kim Jong-il. Why did you read that when it came out? This has been out for like 5 years. Why were you reading that?
I'm fascinated by dictators. And, you know, Kim Jong-un, in North Korea in particular, it's one of the places I desperately in my life want to go someday. Now, I'm obviously at this point, you go there and you die. So I really can't do it. But I would love to see it. It's an incredible place.
He won't go
place.
To Israel.
I know.
He won't go to Israel.
But he'd love to go to North Korea.
I'm also not going to North Korea because I think it's dangerous. I mean, I would love to see Israel too, but I think there's...
I'm thinking about going to South Korea, not North Korea.
South Korea.
I'm thinking about going to the DMZ.
I would love to see that too. I mean, it's an incredible place. And that hotel that we talked about yesterday, the Hotel of Doom, is like legitimately my favorite building and story of all time. Because, I mean, it is the ultimate failure of communism. When the Seoul, South Korea Olympics in 1988 were going on, they decided they wanted to outshow, because they knew the spotlight would be on South Korea, and they wanted to show they were better. So the communists tried, it was Kim Il-sung, tried to build the largest hotel in the world, got the structure built. It looks like this bizarre pyramid, almost like a rocket ship. It's 110 stories. They got through it.
Think of that. That's the World Trade Center.
Yeah, it's
in pyramid form.
In pyramid form. It is huge. And it's this big concrete structure. They built it to the sky and then ran out of cash. The Soviet Union started to collapse. They ran out of cash, couldn't finish it. So over this city, that was supposed to be the best city in the, you know, the world, and how they were dominating the world and in the economy and everything else, is this giant unfinished disaster that they can't do anything with, but they also can't tear it down because it'd be completely unsafe to tear it down and also really expensive to tear it down. So over the years, as they've sort of recovered a little bit, they've just plastered glass on the side of it. So it looks now kind of like a finished building. But there's video of it from the time where people, and they would never allow anyone to take pictures of it. They would never allow any people to film it. A couple of people smuggled out a video of it. And it's like, you know, this collapsing disaster of a concrete structure, the ugliest building you've ever seen. It was supposed to have 10 rotating restaurants on the top of it. I mean, it was an incredible project, but the ultimate testimony of communism's failure, how this does not work. And I love it.
Who is going to pay for the bazillion dollar rooms and the 10 revolving restaurants when no one has any money?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's not a good idea.
That's are we going to start a GoFundMe page and have Stu go to North Korea?
Oh, I'll pay for that myself. I will pay for that myself.
I don't understand.
Now this. I want to tell you about Bonnie and Michael's story. Bonnie and Michael. Bonnie and Michael live in Virginia. They had a house in Ohio. They needed to sell it. They had a real estate agent, and same old, same old. Excuse after excuse. Nothing was done. The agent, you know, I'm posting it. We're showing it. Blah, 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 blah. None of it. Getting information from their agent was like pulling teeth. Why? Because, you know, they live in another state. The guy doesn't have to actually look him in the eye. Bonnie and Michael listened to this program, then they decided they wanted to make a change and actually sell their house in Ohio. So they went to realestateagentsitrust.com. Stacy is the person they were working for. The house received an offer within a couple of days and sold in 2 weeks. realestateagentsitrust.com. You want to sell your house, you want to sell it for the most money and on time, and you want to work with somebody who's a decent human being, realestateagentsitrust.com. Put them to the test or read the testimonials of the thousands of families whose lives have been impacted by these great agents. realestateagentsitrust.com. realestateagentsitrust.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. It's a very special episode of the Pat and Stu Show today. Spoons, spoons, and more spoons. Check it out online at theblaze.com/TV. Also, I invite you to join me tonight at 5 o'clock, just taking your phone calls one-on-one, your questions, your thoughts on the news of the day, where we're headed, things that we may have missed. I'd love to hear from you. The number will be 888-727-BECK. That will start at 5 p.m. Eastern. Call a little bit early to get in line. We begin screening calls probably about 15 minutes before we go to air. So call us again, 5 p.m. Eastern.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.